Are you looking for a money reset? With the new year upon us, the Jill on Money podcast is here to help you take control of your financial life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from TigerBait.com. Covers all LSU sports out in Baton Rouge, Buddy Sanji. Buddy, what's up, brother?
Mike and Charlie, good to talk to you guys on a Monday. It is so ironic that the last spot that was playing is 1-800-4-RELIEF, and I think everybody in Baton Rouge is so happy that they got a little relief salvaging the last game of the three-game series. But, guys, 2 weeks of honeymoon, hitting 355 ERA under four. The last 3 weeks, a rude awakening, and if anybody can fix it, Jay Johnson, but we got a lot to talk about. Great to always be with you guys.
They got the Bills in after the first couple of weeks, buddy. That's what it is, and you can tell this team's looking for an identity, and right now they don't have it. And as I told Charlie, the only consistent thing about them, one is Jake Brown, the other is their inconsistent nature. You don't know what's going to go wrong from game to game. I'll throw the basketball question to you first, because, man, everywhere I go, I get asked, you know, what's going to happen here with Matt McMahon? And for a lot of people, their comments to me is, listen, LSU can't afford another basketball coach with the money and the buyout and bringing in assistants and the head coach, everything else. And my comment back to him is, can they afford not to at this stage? And certainly everything centers around Will Wade, and would he make that decision to come back to LSU? And he does have close ties to Wade Roos, who's now the president at LSU. So your thoughts on where you think this I don't know if you want to call decision or search would lead to, if it's made that they move on from Matt McMahon, or you think they'll keep him for another year.
You know, Mike and Charlie, I give you a little bit of a different take here for the LSU fan base that needs to hear some positive stuff. And, you know, when BK first took over with LSU, he mentioned the P word. We're not going to pay for players. What he really meant to say was, we're not going to overpay. But as we know, Mike and Charlie, LSU, there is one big advantage. They are not being undersold, and they are finding money. Mike, you and everybody else heard, we're going to do whatever it takes to get Lane Kiffin, and of course they did that. There is a similar mindset, once again, with Will Wade and this basketball situation. Will Wade and NC State plays Texas tomorrow night, 7:15 on True TV. And if I can tell you anything that's true, it's that I'm hearing the same thing that about the want for Lane Kiffin and not being held back. But, Mike, you remember when LSU many years ago didn't have the money, didn't have the collectives, didn't have the sugar daddies, didn't have the wherewithal to get it done. All of that's changed. And so I've been saying it for 3 weeks, and I'll continue to say it. If Will Wade wants to come back, they're going to make it happen, and he will be the next coach at LSU. If it's not Will Wade, then you will have one more year of purgatory with Matt McMahon. And I say that not in a cutting way, but it has been hard to see any kind of progress. 2 years ago, they beat John Calipari in Kentucky with a putback by Terrell Ward. That was 2 years ago. This year they blew an 18-point lead against Kentucky and only won three games. And so I'm with you and Charlie, and everywhere you go, I'll just say this. If there's a will, there's a way, and I'll leave it at that.
You know, buddy, I think it's interesting you brought up the Kentucky game, because when we were talking with, you know, Coach Brady the other day, Mike and I had an interview with him, I think, on Thursday. That felt like the moment that things really started to fall apart for LSU, because you get off to that 0-3 start and conference play. Steve and I were sitting in the studio watching the end of that game, and we see the ridiculous final stretch where LSU can't hit a free throw, and then they get a full court pass with like 2 seconds left, and they hit a game-winning shot at the PMAC. The PMAC at that time was still very fired up for LSU basketball despite an 0-3 start to SEC play, because, you know, they had such a good non-conference record. But really, that felt like the moment of the LSU men's basketball season where things started to fall apart. I will say about the Will Wade thing, he after basically losing five of their last six games, NC State found themselves in this first four spot where I don't think they were expecting to be here, but they're going to be playing tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to that matchup against Texas. Will Wade said, quote, after the ACC tournament loss that they had at NC State, quote, I've already met with our administration about next year and some of the changes that we need to make, some of the things that we need to do to put this program where it deserves long term. I'm not on social media. I'm not into the gossip. I'm not into any of that sort of stuff, but we're going to win, and we're going to win big at NC State. That's what we're going to do moving forward, and we have the resources we need. We have what we need, end quote. And he got snarky, as he always seems to do, with the reporter that had asked him about the LSU question. He's like, is the job open? No? All right, I'm at NC State. At the same time, there are some people that are speculating that he didn't quite slam the door shut on the LSU job, but at the same time, those are pretty strong comments about NC State, buddy.
Yeah, and it's been known pretty much that NC State has not lived up to what they said they were going to do from an NIL standpoint. Now, here's the deal. Will Wade is going to get paid a lot of money with NIL. We hear this, guys, that he's not so much interested in what LSU would pay him, assistance, all that other stuff. He wants the NIL. Everybody knows that's how you build these rosters. Nobody's building a program anymore. You're just building a team. It's year to year. Baseball's got a completely new team this year, completely new team next year for sure. Obviously, there's some carryover, but my point is that Will Wade's got to say all of that. But if NC State comes up and bellies up to the bar and gives him $15 million, because that's what I think LSU would give him, it certainly would be double digits. McMahon got eight. Will Wade's not coming over here for $8 or $9 million. He's coming over here for big bucks and to win very quickly. And so right now, I would think that there is a good probability that he'll be the next coach. But if it's not him, then they're not going to go out and have a search and spend a lot more money. McMahon will get another year, and that would, you know, nobody wants to pull against Matt McMahon, but it's been troubling to watch how they finish games this year. There were four or five games they could have won, but just can't finish them.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Charlie, buddy, every time I see Will Wade, you know, he always has a big smile to come because he does visit people here in Louisiana. He's got some really close friends here. And so if we meet up, he always will tell me, Hoss, you know what this game's all about? Talent procurement.
Yep.
And he breaks out into a big laugh about it. He said it here on Sports Talk with us before, the exact same way. So, you know, he was NIL sort of before all of it became legal, and he just got caught. I mean, it's not like he was the only one doing it, but he got caught doing it on a FBI type of taping. So I think what he was able to do, and he had good to, at times, very good teams. They were never elite, but they were good to very good. I think for LSU fans is, man, give me that compared to what I've seen here over the last couple years. And, buddy, I've heard exactly what you just said, that some of the things NC State promised him have not come to fruition. And that may be the reason why the door wasn't completely closed. I mean, he came about as close as you can say I'm staying, but didn't really go that far with it. But I think it'll be an intriguing couple of weeks now to see what happens, because we do know one thing. The guy with the most power in the state of Louisiana, Governor Jeff Landry, wants him to be the coach of the LSU men's basketball team.
And not only along with those lines, Lee Mallett is now the chairman. Lee Mallett is as tight as can be with Will Wade. As you alluded to earlier, Wade Roos has a relationship with him from McNeese. Governor Landry wants him to be in here. And it's exciting if this thing all happens. But the man does still have a job. As Charlie mentioned, they floundered at the end and lost five or six of their last games. Look, let's be honest, folks. NC State's a better basketball job than LSU. But when you bring Will Wade back to LSU and you give him double-digit $1 million in the NIL, and he goes into that transfer portal, it's exciting. Don't forget, he was 16-2 in year two, and the Dick Vitales and those guys in the media were all after him. You talked about what he did. Bruce Pearl cheated, and Auburn defended him. Self over at Kansas. Not only did he cheat, they defended him, and he won a national championship. Same thing at Arizona and other places. So a lot of controversy for the LSU fan base, basketball guys that did not like Scott Woodward handing over the keys to the NCAA and of course, the way that thing ended up. But bottom line is that we're going to find out soon enough, and I'm hoping the gangster will be back.
He wasn't Scott Woodward's boy.
No.
He was Joe Oliva's hire. So that tells you the whole story, and I think it happened in not only in men's basketball but other sports. One of the things, buddy, we've talked about, you and I have been with LSU's spring football, is how quickly the pace of the offense, because it is going to be run at a much quicker pace than what we've saw certainly under Brian Kelly, under Coach O. I think you're going to see a fast-paced offense, and that's something you got to practice. You've got to be able to do this in a quick fashion, because Lane does not want you to substitute. He wants to catch you in a base defense. He can go after you, and you can't substitute. The other thing, too, is how quickly this offensive line comes around. You know who the center is, and you've paid a lot of money for some of the offensive linemen, but finding the right five and then finding a couple of key backups, I think, along with the quarterback position and how they handle the new offense, that's going to be the intrigue for spring drills at LSU.
Yeah, by the way, Mike, you and I talked on our radio show a week or so ago, and you were telling me that the skinny on Kiffin is that he's not going to allow much media viewing. We did get some late information in the last couple of days that he may give us a little bit. You know, this is an insatiable appetite that the LSU football fan base has. Now you combine baseball having a rough year, softball having a rough year, and men's basketball in the tank. These fans are looking for some positive stuff. They're chomping at the bit. 60 new players. Mike, I think you hit the nail on the head. Obviously, you know who your center's going to be. They were happy to repaint Braylon Moore. You paid a lot of money for the left tackle. You'll see if, of course, Jordan Seaton can come in here. They're looking for plug-and-play guys on the offensive line. The other thing, Mike, that I think we all need to agree on is that they have got to flip the switch from being a finesse team at the line of scrimmage to being back physical, throwing people around like empty Coke cans, and they've got a Savage as a new strength and conditioning coach. And Nick Savage, Mike, I'll ask you, you've been around a long time. How quickly can a guy come in, and in 6 months, does it take a year, does it take longer, to see the body shape and to see the physicality that you have to have in the SEC at the line of scrimmage? How long does it take these guys to be up to snuff and be strong enough to play at the line of scrimmage, that smash-mouth football that LSU has not played the last 4 years?
Well, with 60 new players, buddy, you don't have a lot to go by. But here's my feeling about being physical. It's all a mindset. Okay, either you got it or you don't. It's a mindset to be physical at the point of attack, offensively and defensively. And I think that is a big key, certainly for 2026, but a different mindset of how we're going to do this. And it is going to be at a faster pace than what LSU fans have seen in the past. If you watched Ole Miss football, man, okay, they're not in the huddle for a long time and just wait and then running the clock down unless they're winning big at the end of the game. And then sometimes even that, you know, Lane would want to put it on you. The physicality part is a mindset, and that starts in practice sessions and what you are doing in that weight room, and can it translate onto the football field? I've always felt that sometimes certain strength and conditioning coaches, they could teach you a certain way, but that toughness and mentality, that comes from within. And I do believe that you can change that mentality real quickly, to be honest.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Obviously, you guys know that Sam Leavitt will be limited in spring. That means you're going to get a good look at Landon Clark and Husam Longstreet. Mike, I agree with you. Everybody's going to see what they look like at the offensive line. Can they get too deep? Usually it's been a guy that can play center, guy that can play both guards, a guy that can flip and play both tackles. You get to eight. They're looking for more of that. Here's the other question, Mike and Shirley. What kind of physicality and pressure are you going to get on the quarterback? You mentioned Lane Kiffin playing faster. Mike, I looked at it, checked all of their games. They averaged 75 plays during the regular season when Lane was there. 75 plays every game on offense. And so we know that Blake Baker is going to get better defending him, even though you can't hit the quarterback in practice. But, man, oh, man, it is exciting with all these new players. And they've got some excellent transfer portal guys, although let's be honest and cognizant of the fact that they brought in 18 last year. They were supposed to be the number one transfer portal class, and only about five or six of the 18 really ended up being plug-and-play guys that could handle the SEC. And so, but just from a sheer numbers, every spot looks much more deeper. And, you know, let's be honest. Lane Kiffin's going to parades in New Orleans. He's going to parades in Baton Rouge. He's throwing trinkets. He's loving life and living large. But come September 5th or so, you better know that he is going to be ready to show the real world what the real Death Valley looks like under Lane Kiffin. And that stadium will be locked up. Scalpers market, chill bump when they run out the tunnel. But there's going to be pressure to get the playoffs this year. You know, guys, when you bring this kind of talent in and this kind of numbers in, people are going to expect playoffs. And, oh, by the way, you've added a ninth conference game, which is not going to make it any easier.
Yeah, to finish that season the way they do. I do think the one thing with Coach Kiffin, I think, is him and Glasscock both do this really good, that they can evaluate players that fit what they want. I think that was the key to rebuilding the Ole Miss program back up to where it is today. And listen, if you think Ole Miss is going away in 2026, now I'm not talking about beyond there, but 2026 and you got Trinidad back and Kawan Lacy back and a big chunk of that defense back. Now you did lose your top edge rusher to LSU. Man, I don't know how you feel about this, buddy, but Ole Miss ain't going anywhere in 2026, not with that lineup that they can put out on the field. And Chambliss, he is a big-time player at the collegiate level.
Look, I echo all of those sentiments 100%, but I also know that Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. and everybody on that staff that came over knows Ole Miss to a T. And I like Charlie Weiss Jr. and Lane Kiffin attacking Pete Golding and that Ole Miss defense. So that game on week three is going to be what an incredible buildup that will be. But I like LSU in that game, and I like the Tigers being able to start the season. You got to beat Clemson. That's a no-brainer. You got to beat Ole Miss on the road, and then you got to do something that you normally don't see, and that's beat Texas A&M back-to-back. They were here in Baton Rouge last year. And thank the Aggies. That was one of the reasons why the money people said, no more celebrations in that end zone like that ever again. We got to make a change. And so we got to thank the Aggies. We got to send them some Christmas cards this year, Mike and Charlie.
Buddy, you sound like a friend of mine, Tracy Coley, who echoes the exact same comments you said. She told us a couple of weeks back, because she hates Texas A&M and she lives right in the middle of Aggie country. And so she got to hear it. It's in her ear every single day about it. So, buddy, hey, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And, man, always great insights. Love to have you on.
I enjoyed it, guys. You guys have a great time. Don't forget, it's getting chilly tonight. Buckle up, folks. LSU will be back in baseball, and we'll talk with you real soon. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Buddy Sanji from TigerBait.com. Man, Charlie, Buddy and I, we're trying to figure this out, but it's been like 40 years. Him and I have spoke at one outlet or another, if it's radio, television, now on the internet with podcasts and stuff. So it's been a long time with Buddy Sanji and I doing this media stuff.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.